Bismillah, alhamdulillah, peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show, another exciting show. Before we get started, I got to show you this clip. Watch this. My next guest is on the forefront, combating ignorance, racism, like what you just seen, educating people. He's been on CNN, Fox News, and all the major networks. My next guest from CARE, the director of CARE Chicago, will be right back with him here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean Show. This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Welcome back to the Dean Show. Peace be with you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Peace be on to you as well.
How you been, Ahmed?
Been well.
Rehab.
Alhamdulillah. Rehab, yes.
Director of CARE Chicago?
Yes.
Now, we started the program. You guys are doing some wonderful work. I mentioned you're on the forefront of tackling bigotry, racism, you know, helping to defend the civil liberties of the American citizens who live in this country, and particularly those now who are coming under attack. We just got to see this video. Very sad. It's very sad reality of what's going on out there. You know, a lot of ignorance. What are your? We're going to show it one more time. What's the first thing that comes to your mind after seeing this?
You know, it's physical assault. It's illegal. But what the mindset behind the assault is hatred. This individual obviously looks at this woman and thinks, you know, I can slap her. I can punch her. There isn't going to be major, you know, a major reaction because she doesn't count for much. This sort of marginalization, this sort of, you know, hatred and bigotry that we see many Muslims be subjected to, unfortunately, especially in a post 9/11, you know, climate, is exactly what we're trying to fight against. And I'm one of many people who are fighting the right fight or trying to fight the right fight in order to bring attention to the fact that all human beings should be treated with respect and dignity. And in America, under our Constitution, all citizens are entitled to the same rights, whether they're Muslim or Christian or Jews, whether they're black or white, men or women. It's the same Constitution with the same civil rights for everybody.
And that's not something you just made off at the top of your head. This is what Islam teaches. This is what we learn from when we study this way of life that we live, a way of life of peace, of mercy, of tolerance. This is what it's about.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most important elements and really cornerstones of Sharia, and again, this word, you know, it's the SH word. It's the word that everybody's afraid of. But really, all it means is law. And when we talk about Sharia in the context of Islam, we talk about Islamic law. And in that, we're not talking about some kind of repressive, you know, force something on someone, but rather when you buy into Islam as an individual, and it's out of your free will and choice, you are then bound by certain laws, the laws of God. And the first cornerstone is freedom, meaning the freedom to choose. You have free will. You know, Islam cannot be imposed upon you. It cannot be something that is, you know, there's no compulsion.
No compulsion. La ikraha fi din.
One of the cornerstones of Islam. And so that's the first thing, is that you come to it by choice. The second is dignity, human dignity. Karram Allahu wajha al-insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made unique and dignified and enlightened the face of mankind, the face of humanity, the face of man and woman.
Now you said something in Arabic. Now there's a lot of, you know, people who don't understand the Arabic language. You said this word Allah, and some people already, you said Sharia. And can't we equate this to the Ten Commandments? Moses came with a Sharia. Jesus came, I mean, to confirm the Sharia. This is simply, like you said, God's law.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But we also have to be smart enough and nuanced enough to understand that there are Muslims out there who are part of the problem in that they put forth a very rigid structure that isn't necessarily out of ijma, meaning out of a consensus of the Muslim ulama, Muslim scholars. And it tends to be on the far right, And that is what scares many people. And it's not just extreme and intense in its interpretation, but it's forceful in its implementation. And that is what creates the Sharia scare coming out of parts of the Middle East and South Asia and emanating into the West.
You said Allah. For the people out there, they tuning in, they think like Allah is some moon god, you know, what is this, just some a god of the Muslims?
Well,
please define this word.
Jesus being a Semite, Moses being a Semite, both of them being from the Middle East, chances are they refer to God using the word Allah or a derivative of Allah, linguistic derivative, ilah, something like that.
Allah,
and probably not God, yeah. Which is actually a word out of Northern Europe.
Yeah.
So Allah, again, just means God.
That's
the one God.
That's the same God that Jesus worshipped, mm-hmm. Abraham, Moses, the one God who created this whole universe and everything in it. In Aramaic, you mentioned that, you know, Jesus didn't speak English, and I've looked this up. You can look this up. He would say, Allaha.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because just taking on the Jesus example and moving forward, when we have issues and instances of racial profiling, and there are many people in America today that actually argue for racial profiling, saying that, look, it's the Middle Eastern guys who commit all the trouble. Why would we go after the, you know, Swedish grandma? And, you know, one of the things that comes to mind, and usually an argument I give back, is that if Jesus himself was to try to get into JFK Airport or O'Hare Airport, per your own standards, you'd probably detain him for hours.
Absolutely.
Because he'd likely be olive-skinned, you know, with bushy black hair, probably wearing a jilbab, you know, a long thong.
We're showing a picture right now of what is betrayed of Jesus. Obviously, it's not him, but what people betray of him, exactly what you're saying.
Right, and we all know Jesus is not and was not a terrorist, and likewise, so are most Muslims, not terrorists. So it's not, you cannot profile, you know, racially or phenotypically, you know, the outside appearance of someone and say that that's the only thing we need to look at or the main thing we need to look at to identify this person as a potential problem. Rather, it is behavior. It is track record. It is hard intelligence. And really, you know, law enforcement cannot escape the fact that their job is to look for raw data, you know, hard intelligence. And then go after the trail where there's smoke, there's fire potentially, but not just after somebody's looks or somebody's religion or somebody's skin color.
Mm-hmm. We know that Jesus, I mean, no Muslim is a Muslim unless you believe and love Jesus. You can't be a Muslim, one who submits to the will of God, that's what a Muslim is, unless you love Jesus. And we love Jesus, and Jesus promoted love. So where's all this hate? You know, because if you read the Bible, it says love your enemies, you know, love your neighbor. So where the Muslim is your neighbor, your doctor, your dentist. So where's all this? I mean, this is not coming from Jesus, all this hate. Where's it coming from?
You know, it's coming from the inner darkness of humanity. The same place where goodness comes out of, you know, the inside of humanity, you know, the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God be blessed and almighty, you know, explained to us through his deen, through Islam, that he created mankind with a soul. This soul has been given the capacity to do good and the capacity to do evil. It was not ordained as evil or ordained as good. It had the capacity for both. Now, which one you end up being depends on what you choose for yourself in this dunya, in this life. And those who purify their souls end up committing acts of good, being good, and those who contaminate their souls end up being, you know, evil and committing evil. So it's your choice, and God gives you the freedom to choose which direction you take, and that's what life is all about. So it's the same place, evil and goodness. It's not, you know, the brown good, the whiter bad, the blacker good. It's not by race, it's not by nation, it's not even by religion. It's by the human soul that goodness and evil is decided. And you know, the major war, it's not World War I or World War II. It's not the Iraq War, it's not World War III, God forbid it ever happens. It's the war inside each and every one of us. And if that war is won with the right victor, and that is the good soul, the goodness of the soul, then there will be peace on earth.
Now, we know that the Jews were persecuted at one point, the Japanese, you had the African Americans. Is this just the Muslims' turn now?
You know, that argument has been made, and there's truth to that. You know, the growing pains of being a new immigrant population in America, and I'd have to pause here and say that Muslims are very diverse, they're not monolithic, and a good percentage of Muslims in America are not immigrants, or at least new immigrants. You know, they've been here for hundreds of years, African Americans and other communities that have come hundreds of years ago. But the majority of the Muslim community in America is a young transnational immigrant community, and yes, it is growing pains. We've seen this sort of bigotry and discrimination that targets a group happen with Italians, with Jews, with Germans in the past, with Dutch, with the Japanese, with Latinos, you know, extending into now. And Muslims, unfortunately, like everybody else, is going through this. And it's high time that we learn from our history and stop repeating the same mistakes. And, you know, we're going through this now. We're going to come out on top like everybody else did. And I hope that we as Muslims stand against this happening to anybody else, mm-hmm. even if they're not Muslim, whether it be the Buddhists or Hindus or any other people. We as Muslims stand for equality, you know, goodness, civil rights for all, not just for Muslims.
Have you seen, I mean, you are at the forefront, and we know people, we've discussed this on the Deen Show so many times, we've had scholars come on and condemn such acts as 9/11, the Boston bombing, you know, horrific acts against innocent civilians that have happened. So now, why is it that usually, you know, the laymen, they're like, why don't Muslims speak out against these acts? Is the media being fair and bringing on people? You know, they'll bring on people who have voiced their opinion, you know, strongly against Muslims, Islam. But now on the other end, you know, is our voice strong enough? Because I can testify, we've had dozens of people come on and condemn such evil acts. What is your opinion being on the forefront?
Well, I think condemnations have been plenty, and they've been wide and deep. And many who say that they don't hear them simply don't go to the places where they need to hear them. And I've been asked before in speeches, in conferences, on TV, you know, why don't Muslims condemn this and that? And I ask the person, I'm a Muslim sitting in front of you. I've actually condemned the very thing of which you speak now. Now my question to you, did you go to my website? No. Did you read any of my articles? No. Well, then how do you expect me to let you know that I'm condemning this? Do you expect a personal email, a leaflet that I should drop off in your mailbox at home? I mean, if you don't do the effort, you can't really come and complain and say Muslims are not doing. But having said that, my concern as a Muslim is not so much about doing the condemnation dance, but rather fixing our own house. We need to do more as an ummah. We may be doing all right in the United States, relatively speaking, but as an ummah around the world of Muslims together, there are many, many things we need to work on. We are not in a good place. We need to be in a much better place in terms of our understanding of our own deen, our application of this deen, and keeping out the extremes on both sides, the extreme far liberal and the extreme far, you know, right wing groups that contaminate not just the image of this deen, but the way we live it on a daily basis.
Beautiful. We're going to take a break. And for many people, you know, this is probably the only exposure they have to Islam, to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So we're going to end with this. We're going to come back. But, you know, God, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, show mercy to those on earth and God will show you mercy. So this is not, again, what I said, something that we're making up. Islam is indeed a merciful way of life. And we'll be back to have some more time here spent with our guest, Ahmed, here on The Deen Show.
I'm so tired.
When I read through the Old Testament and New Testament, it didn't make any sense.
Feels like I've walked 1,000 miles.
When I looked into the Eastern faiths, such as Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism and whatnot.
Uninspired, dunya's got me on my knees.
I agree with a lot of their principles and ideas, the same with Christianity and Judaism, but they just didn't strike a chord. They didn't make sense with me.
But thankfully I've got Islam, oh.
And as a result of such, I was not a fan of religion, was not a fan of organized religion, and I took a very atheist approach towards belief.
It gets me through trying times, oh.
I could leave work, go have a bottle of vodka, smoke a pack of cigarettes, have a double bacon and double cheese sandwich, and go to sleep drunk and happy, come to work the next day, and I was miserable.
And when I read the Noble Quran, oh.
What do you think about Christ? What do you think about God? Who is Allah? Who is Muhammad?
It tells me what's the truth and gives me all the proof.
With just a little bit of intelligence and a little bit of investigation, you can see that Islam's not the boogeyman that it's been made out to be.
My Allah is the one, the one, the one, one, the one.
I didn't believe in organized religion at all. So to read the Quran, I thought to myself, here's another book I can put on the shelf of fictitious make-believe.
The one, the one.
It took me 3 nights to read the Quran, and when I was done reading it, I remember thinking that it was the first, and to this date, the only religious book I've ever read that makes sense.
The one.
From beginning to end, it doesn't contradict itself. It's an instruction manual for living.
My Eli is the one.
Back here on the Dean Show with the director of CARE Chicago. And tell us, Ahmed, that you've been on almost all the major networks, CNN, Fox News. Which one's your favorite?
I personally enjoy doing the right-wing shows because there's more intensity to them. It's more interesting for me. I also like doing NPR and, you know, some of the more reasonable media, but there's not much of a challenge there, and I enjoy being challenged. So I really like doing Fox News, for example.
You enjoy it? I'm really surprised that they even have you on Fox News. I mean, usually they bring somebody who has some twisted views about Islam, who actually doesn't speak any English and doesn't really portray Islam in the right way as far as, you know, being a voice and can't answer the questions properly. So, you know, when they bring you on, it's also really a shock. And why don't they bring on credible, you know, also along with you, scholars, people who've dedicated their life, who are Americans here from, I know they bring on Ibrahim occasionally, but why do you think they do? Is this intentionally?
I think part of it is, I mean, Fox News is not exactly an unbiased source of news. It does have an agenda. It does have a worldview. And the way they choose their guests, for the most part, the segments that they cover, the kind of things that they say, the angle in the show, is pretty much informed and fed by that worldview. You know, I don't feel that they bring me on by choice most of the time. I don't feel I'm first choice. I feel that, you know, when they run out of options and I'm readily available, you know, waving my hand and ready to come on, you know, then they bring me on. Or if it's something very much up my alley and they have really no choice. But I would wish that, you know, we could do this more often because it's an opportunity for me to reach out across the aisle. And I'm not really addressing the anchor, whether it's O'Reilly or Hannity or somebody else. I'm really reaching out to the audiences at home, people who don't hear from Muslims too often, people who watch Fox News in the red states, who don't have Muslim neighbors possibly, who may have biased views of Islam. You know, it's an opportunity for us to show our humanity, our intellect, and make our arguments. Even if you don't agree, then at least we're breaking stereotypes in the way we're speaking and in what we're speaking about and how we're speaking.
I want to go to another clip, and I want to get your thoughts on this.
John Jamison's actions are under evaluation by County Administrator Robert Wiseman today, who told us he is pursuing the possibility of disciplinary action for the comments that Jamison made on his personal Facebook page. There is no such thing as radical Islam. All Islam is radical. The Quran is a book that preaches hate.
Now, you got to see this clip. Now, he didn't just say, you know, Islam, you know, some have separated, so there's radical Islam. He said, no. He was like, all Islam is radical, and this Quran is, you know, preaching hate and violence. And this is someone who's in public office. Do you deal a lot with people like this?
Yes, because what we're facing is a cottage industry. What that means is there's a niche industry that has developed, again, mostly after 9/11, but going as far back in its origins as the medieval times, as the Crusades. In that, and today they're becoming more sophisticated in their organizing and disseminating of information, but they remain very primitive in their talking points and their narratives. One of the narratives is Islam itself is violent. It isn't the extreme. It isn't the fringe. It's the mainstream. It's the Quran itself. It's their prophet, Muhammad, who was a pedophile, who was a murderer, who was a rapist, who was crazy, a lunatic, blah, 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 blah. They go to the core of the religion and start to vilify and demonize the religion, and as such, by extension, essentially vilifying the 2 billion Muslims around the world. And that's obviously something that we stand very much against. We dissect intellectually to show the problems with the logic, the falsehood in the allegations, historically and in contemporary terms, but more importantly, to be as omnipresent as the other side, on TV, in newspapers, on the radio, to bring our message out as strong, if not stronger, to be able to defeat the lies that are being spread by these people. And it usually starts on the internet. So we have a strong internet presence to address this at its core.
Mm-hmm. I want to shift the blame on us a little bit because I feel confident. I feel confident. I mean, God Almighty, the Creator, is the one who changes the hearts. But I feel confident if I was to sit with someone like this, someone who had these views, and I had some lunch with him, maybe brought him down to my academy dojo, and I did some jiu-jitsu with him, threw him around, you know, wrapped him up a little bit like a pretzel, all in a matter of fun. At the end, had a really civilized conversation. You know, maybe he'd even accept Islam because it's all about worshiping the Creator, not the creation, doing good, being good, and being the best that you can be so you can obtain paradise in the next life. And then, or he would walk away being a friend. Because he'd understand that all these crazy beliefs were just based on lies and ignorance. And I think if many of us were out there sharing the purpose of life, sharing truly what Islam is about, that a lot of these walls will be knocked down. What are your views on that?
I agree. I mean, a big part of it is representation. And the most important part is self-representation. And where we fail to do that, others fill in the vacuum with their own, very warped views of who we are. And that's why we're in media. That's why we're in schools. That's why we're dealing with neighbors and with communities and churches and with government. We're coming out of what used to be the shadows for us as a community and becoming more civically engaged. You hear this word a lot, civic engagement, to bring out our voices and our humanity to the fore so people can know what we're about and what our religion is about. Let me just be clear that from CARE Chicago's perspective and CARE's perspective, we're not trying to have people accept Islam. That's not our job. We're not a dawah organization. We're simply trying to fight what we consider to be very backward, very unsophisticated, and very primitive views on who Muslims are, which we believe is not just hurtful to Muslims, but very hurtful to America and to the person who holds these views. You know, I always say this, hatred is a self-addressed envelope. You put it in the mailbox, it's going to come right back to your home. Definitely. It's going to hurt you more.
Definitely.
It hurts you more than it hurts me.
Yes.
It's like holding a weapon in a war, and before you can fire at your opponent, the weight of the weapon, you know, buries you. Yeah. That's what hate is all about. And so hatred is not just something that threatens us, but it's really a threat to society as a whole.
Definitely. It's like drinking poison and waiting for your enemy to die.
Exactly.
Look at this quote from the last and final messenger sent to mankind, peace be upon him. Get your thoughts on it. He said, be kind, for whenever kindness becomes a part of something, it beautifies it. And whenever it is taken away from something, it leaves it tarnished. And I mentioned another quote, you know, show mercy if you want mercy from the Creator before we left out. Again, you know, there are, I mean, so someone is probably like, look, you're showing all of this now for good PR, but we know, how do you tackle when we show this? The people get a different perspective that Islam is about love. It's about mercy. Islam, ISLAM, Islam says love all mankind. And we truly love all mankind. That's why we're trying to share this message of peace with the world, purpose. So now you just read this. Mm-hmm. Do people get to see this? Do they get to see, you know, these beautiful statements from the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him?
No, they don't. We recently met with a German delegation from law enforcement, the police in Germany, and they talked about how they have these outreach campaigns with Muslims in their cities where they play basketball and they try to be their friends in hopes to prevent them from becoming terrorists or extremists or radicals. And the question I posed to them was, you know, that's not the job of law enforcement. You're supposed to look for crime. You're not supposed to deal with the entire community as a potential criminal. This is like, you know, the FBI or the Chicago police going to make friends with Fabio and Alfonso and, Demetrios and thinking, you know, this way they're not going to join the mob one day. Yeah. So the problem is, before you understand what is wrong with the community, you have to understand what's right. And law enforcement, the media, many other sources or many other consumers of information about Islam fail to know the normative Islam, fail to know you and your wife and your family and me and my family and how we live as Muslims. They only are looking at, unfortunately, most of the time, the underwear bomber, the 19 guys from 9/11, the guys they see on TV waving weapons and, you know, yelling into the camera. And they start there. And from there, they begin to try to understand Islam as a religion. That's like having biology 101 be about cancer cells. Before you understand that there's a skeleton, there's a muscular, you know, system to the body, there's a digestive system, you know, the normative body. Before you understand all of that, which all kids study in biology, you know, early biology, you go straight into the cancer cells in hopes to understand the full human body. It doesn't work that way. And so, yes, there is an impetus and an imperative on the mainstream, and we have to help them. It's our role to do so, to know the normative Islam, the mainstream Islam, the daily Islam, not just in America, but around the world. And it's peaceful, it's loving, it's family-oriented. It's not much different from what they would want for their own families. And then from there, to know what's wrong with, you know, those who are doing bad things, which we're more than happy to admit that we have bad apples, you know, like anybody else. And we're dealing with that. And we're not ashamed or not embarrassed or not in denial of the fact that there are problems, much like any other community. But you got to begin from understanding the mainstream and separating that and your perception of that from dealing with the problem.
We showed the individual who made these statements. We got to go to break. Before we go to break, we showed a statement from the last divine measure prophet Muhammad about kindness, about mercy. Let's go to the verbatim word of God before we go to break. This is so deep. Listen to this. Worship no one other than God. Be good to your parents and relatives and to those and to the orphans and the poor. Speak kindly to everyone. Establish prayer and give in charity. I mean, how can you object to that? It's something beautiful. It's something wonderful. And we take strong reception when you call this book, you know, a book of evil. It's a book from the creator of the heavens and earth that calls people to goodness, nothing but good. There's so much love in it. Read it. Read it. Read it. We'll be right back with more with our brother Ahmed here on The Dean Show.
I started asking deeper questions.
The question I want people to really ask themselves is, when you come back from a night on the town, you've been drinking, you've been boozing, you've been dancing, you've been hanging out with girls, guys, whatever. Number one, did you improve yourself as a human being? Number two, did you contribute anything to the betterment of humanity? The amazing thing is that the most advanced studies in psychology about human happiness show that these are the two key factors in making people profoundly happy.
I take 5 minutes out of my day and pray to the Creator and none of the creations, and I feel a deep internal peace. And I still have my normal life.
Conviction. Somehow, the idea got into their minds that to kill other people is a great thing to do and that they would be rewarded in the hereafter.
But Christians do that every single day in this country.
Do they blow people up every
Christians every day. People walk into post office. I mean, people walk into post offices. They walk into schools. That's what Columbine is. I mean, I could do this all day long. There are so many more examples of Christians, and I happen to be a Christian. That's back to this notion of you're idealizing Christianity in my mind, to my read. There's so many more examples, Ayan, of Christians who do that than you could ever give me examples of Muslims who have done that inside this country where you live and work.
Islam prohibits killing of innocent human beings. Human life is precious.
If you have a Facebook, guys...
I never ask a man for help, I ask Allah.
If you have a Facebook, make sure you like our statuses.
And think about death so I stay on a surat.
You never know, that one person that you shared one of our videos to.
And when no one's looking, you sneak and give zakat.
You never know, that person might change and end up becoming Muslim. And then you reap the rewards of everything that person has learned from your share.
You rush to work, but you're late for salat. A Muslim never brags, but his actions say a lot.
Like us on Facebook, Twitter, and follow us on Twitter. And one last thing.
You want peace of the Prophet, but not peace for the Prophet. See, that money is your Lord, so you worship an object.
Go subscribe. If you have a YouTube, subscribe.
Kitab or Quran, you learn words to a song.
Subscribe right now.
Hypnotized by a thong. You ain't watching for shaitan. You watch the weight you put on.
Good. Go do it.
Got my head on the ground and my knees on the floor and the devil in my ear, Eddie, telling me to trade it for the world.
Do it right now. Don't say tomorrow. Do it now.
Islam is the truth. And that's no ands, ifs, buts, and maybes.
Back here on The Dean Show with the director of CARE Chicago. And we're talking about some of the things that you guys are involved in and defending the civil liberties of the American Muslims living here. And we talked about, you know, I mentioned that we need to be proactive in helping people to understand really what Muslims are about in Islam, not to be sheltered somewhere away. And not to be ashamed, many of us now are not, you know, immigrants. We've been here, born here. I'm an American Muslim. And my next question is, when you see, I mentioned that you've been on CNN, Fox News, and all the major networks out there, but how do you feel when they bring on so-called experts of Islam that don't really represent Islam, some extreme elements, and they'll end up, you know, having some ignorant Muslims out there, you know, really extreme. They'll have these pictures out there saying, behead those that don't accept Islam. Really ignorant statements, doing ignorant things. But they take them. They don't bring on guests that we've had on The Dean Show who've truly, you know, expressed what Islam is about, you know, showing the facts, not the fiction. But they bring on someone like, for instance, what do you think about that?
Well, that's what we call bias, and it's what we call selectivity, and it's what we call self-fulfilling prophecy. In other words, if you go with the scientific method, which is the way truth is searched in this dunya, you basically start with a question. You don't have any preconceived notions of the answer. You scour your subject matter, you research it, and you're ready for any answer to know the truth. But in the method that you described, I already know what I want. I already know the answer. So now I'm just cherry-picking evidence to support my perspective. It doesn't mean the evidence isn't there. It doesn't mean they're making up these extremists. Because they always tell us, am I making this up? It's true. It's there. It's right there. Am I lying? No, I'm not lying. Khalas, it's true, right? But then we say, look, you're cherry-picking this evidence. You're not lying about it. But by omitting the other evidence that points in the other direction, which is in fact the majority evidence, you are lying by omission. By being selective, you're denying the realities out there. Mm-hmm. So people like these extremists that you know we just saw in the video and others, they're rejected by the mainstream. You saw the uncles. And the uncles are not even as progressive as some of the younger people.
We're going to show this clip now so people can see what actually you're talking about.
Right.
Okay. They're going to show the Muslims are actually chasing these extremists out.
Extremists, we're telling them to go.
Supporter of terrorists.
Swear by Allah, I never met you before in my life.
Don't come here. I'm taking.
Do you know anything about me? Do you know anything about me?
We don't know.
Do you know anything about me?
We don't want to.
Excuse me, uncle. You're my uncle.
So as we saw, you know, these uncles who are often accused of being regressive and old country and fobbish, fresh off the boat, you know, they have the presence of mind and the understanding of the religion. And I don't mean to sound condescending. I actually think very highly of them. But unfortunately, that's the stereotype, right? But even there, they're actually pushing this guy out and saying, we don't want you here.
They're saying, get the hell out of here.
We don't agree with you. We don't believe in what you have to offer us. And we believe that you are not following the true path of Islam.
Yeah.
So that's something very important for Americans and others to understand, is that mainstream Muslims, mainstream Islamic society rejects fundamentalism that is extremist, that is radical, that is violent, that is basically against the grain of the prophetic tradition of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, which preached love and kindness and mercy and compassion and justice. No doubt about it, justice is a big part of it. But within the bounds of how to pursue justice. You can't commit injustice in order to bring about justice. You can't kill innocent people in order to avenge or to bring about justice for other innocent people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. That's not the Islamic way. That's just being vengeful, and Islam is not a vengeful religion. It's a religion of mercy and compassion and thoughtfulness.
Yeah. Tell us, we've seen many horrific acts against Muslims. You know, the cab driver who got his throat slit. We see mosques being vandalized. People who want to open up places of worship. They just want to worship like Jesus worshiped. They want to put their head on the ground and pray to only to God, to the Creator. That's what a masjid is. And people are having high, you know, they're putting together meetings, coming down and, you know, hard on people who are trying to do this. You know, what can we do now also to protect our civil liberties, to get involved, you know, to make a positive change and to protect ourselves from being the victims?
Well, we've identified the problem. And what you just described now is the consequence of the problem, which is selectivity. So when people only see the negative, when they only see this guy that we just saw and others like him, when they only see the terrorists, that's how they react, those with a violent tendency, unfortunately. You know, they attack people, they commit assault. And if not that, they may just, you know, utter words of bigotry or hatred or commit acts of discrimination. That's a consequence of the selectivity of only seeing the negative and reacting to it. So part of the solution then is to expand the horizons of the information that's out there and present the mainstream, you know, the other information, the evidence that goes against, you know, this minority selection that they're only looking at. And we're talking again about our own lives. We don't need to engage in a PR campaign in which we invent something. We just need to be able to showcase our own communities, our own history, our own legacy, our own reality, our own modern, you know, times and communities today, to show the wealth, the depth, the breadth, you know, the richness, the vastness, the diversity of this community that isn't monolithic, that isn't just one big blob of the same thing, that has much more good than it has bad. And that's why Islam is so prevalent in the world today. Unless you want to believe that human beings, by nature, are stupid, it would be hard for you to believe that 2 billion of them can choose a religion that is a work of violence or preaching violence and hatred. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2 billion people. This isn't 200 people.
Yeah.
You know, how did these people from China to Mauritania to, you know, Spain to America, Canada, Australia, Brazil, all over the world, Middle East, Africa, you know, how did all these people with all their diverse experiences, you know, their genetic, you know, differences, et cetera, arrive at the same conclusion that this religion is a good religion for them? Mm-hmm. It's not because they're violent and hateful and because they, you know, they're psychologically disturbed. To the contrary, it's because they're seeking peace and they found peace in Islam. That's my story. That's your story, Eddie. That's probably the story of many Muslims watching today who follow Islam. They found peace in this religion. Mm-hmm. So that's the message we need to bring out, is what is Islam and why do we follow Islam? Because it brings us inner peace.
Brings us inner peace, definitely. And I'd like to have a gift for you.
Thank you.
It's our film, Dunya Tadeen. And so we thank you for, you know, all the audience. I'm sure really it was exciting having you with us. We have so much. There was so much. We only scratched the surface. Hopefully, God willing, we can have you back again in the future.
Yeah, we're not far. We can always pop in.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eddie.
Peace be with you. Thank you. Alaykum salam. And that was the director of CARE Chicago, Ahmed, here on The Dean Show. Thank you for tuning in. Let me just one more time. This is what we're doing in the community.
I'm a supporter of terrorists.
Swear by Allah, I never met you before in my life.
Don't come here. No, get up.
Now you saw that. We're kicking them out. Islam is not about extremism. And if you want to learn more on the subjects of jihad or terrorism, go to thedeanshow.com and open your mind. Open your mind and read and study. We've done plenty of shows on these topics. But now you got to get beyond that. Really look at the basic teachings, fundamental teachings of what this way of life that was brought by Jesus, Moses, Abraham, they all came with this message of peace, peace acquired by submission to the will of the Creator, doing the beautiful things that God Almighty, the Creator, has told us to do. And we're going to have a program called Faces of Terrorism that will go a little more deep for the people who are still stuck on this. And really to get our perspective, we're going to post it on Facebook. You can like us there. Also, follow us on Twitter and visit us here at thedeanshow.com. Every week we're here with another exciting episode. Until next time, peace be with you.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.